You must shed your ego and return to spirit. Or you can wait until your body dies and make your return trip at that time. 6 centuries after Lao Tzu dictated the 81 verses of the Tao Te Ching, the man who wrote a huge percentage of the New Testament also spoke of whence we come. Formerly called Saul of Tarsus, he became known as St. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. In his letter to the people of Ephesus, he wrote, "You were created to be like God, and so you must please him and be truly holy." Ephesians 4:24. This is an invitation for us to all return to what we came from, which is loving, kind, and not exclusive in any way. How is this accomplished? According to St. Paul and Lao Tzu, who emphasizes this point in many of the verses of the Tao Te Ching, you do so by yielding your ego, surrendering, and becoming humble. To that end, in his letter to the people of Corinth, St. Paul quotes Jesus directly, quote, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness," unquote. Paul then goes on to say himself, quote, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong," unquote. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Indeed, yielding is the way of the Tao as well as the key to an uplifted existence, according to virtually all spiritual texts that have survived over the centuries. When you truly change the way you think about all of life, the world begins to look very different. You begin seeing everyone and everything as if they have round-trip tickets. You know they all arrived from spirit, and you know they must return. All that composes also decomposes. And whether anyone else understands, that isn't important to you. You find the awareness that life on earth is a death sentence to be a liberating and amusing viewpoint. You're choosing to live every day, each moment that you have, and as much as you can, as the non-being aspect of yourself. As a being of spirit, you decide to use your return ticket while you're still in physical form by keeping yourself in precisely the same loving status that you occupied before entering this world of boundaries. As you take your return journey, you not only get to lose your ego identification card, you have the added bonus of regaining the power of your source, which is the all-creating power of the universe. You merge into the oneness of a being who dissolves ego concerns, and the world that you now see is perfect and infinite in nature. There is no more worry, anxiety, or identification with your possessions. You're a free person. You're a spiritual being first, last, and always. This is what I feel that Lao Tzu is telling you in this brief yet profound teaching of the 40th verse of the Tao Te Ching. First, monitor your direction, emphasizing returning and yielding. Mentally, make an effort to assess every step you're taking in all aspects of your life, including your career and your relationships and your health, in terms of directionality. That is, ask yourself, in which way am I truly moving? Am I getting away from my originating place, or am I returning to it? As you make this assessment, you can be more forthright about returning to, rather than moving away from, the Tao. A resolution to exercise or eat more nutritious foods is a step taking you back to the well-being from which you originated. A decision to suspend your ego and take an interest in another person is a movement of moving back to the Tao. A determination to be generous rather than hoard is a choice to be in the return motion. All of these actions come from your thinking first about the direction in which you're moving, away from your originating spirit or back to it on your return trip. And secondly, surrender. This is what yielding is really all about. Recognize that your little ego does nothing, and that the Tao creates everything, including you. As I sat and wrote the words that appear in this book, I know that I don't own what mysteriously appears on the paper. I've surrendered. I know that God writes all the books, composes all the music, and erects all the buildings. I bow to this all-creating power. While it appears that all of the 10,000 things are born of the world of beingness, as I think about it more, the beingness itself came from non-being. It is to this glorious state of non-being spiritually, or the Tao, that I yield. I encourage you to do the same, and then peacefully observe how it all flows together perfectly. Do the Tao now. Strategically place a picture of a yield sign frequently found as a traffic device within your field of vision. Each time you look at this sign, use it as a reminder for you to return to the Tao. At least once each day, rather than continuing a disagreement, cede on the spot. In the midst of talking about your own achievements or basking in the light of your ego, stop and become an instant listener. The more you yield each day, the more you return to the peace and the harmony of the Tao. The 41st verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, a great scholar hears of the Tao and begins diligent practice. A middling scholar hears of the Tao and retains some and loses some. An inferior scholar hears of the Tao and roars with ridicule. Without that laugh, it would not be the Tao. So there are constructive sayings on this. The way of illumination seems dark. Going forward seems like retreat. The easy way seems hard. True power seems weak. True purity seems tarnished. True clarity seems obscure. The greatest art seems unsophisticated. The greatest love seems indifferent. The greatest wisdom seems childish. The Tao is hidden and nameless. The Tao alone nourishes and brings everything to fulfillment. Unquote. Living beyond appearances. This verse of the Tao Te Ching influenced my choice for the title of this book. By changing your thoughts so that they harmonize with the Tao, you'll see what you've called reality is in fact an outward form, an appearance only. In the beginning, your new way of regarding oneness is clouded by old ego-inspired habits. What you've been accustomed to still resonates within you as real, and your Tao-inspired world may not be consistently recognizable, but you will begin to look beyond what only seems to be your truth and move into a direct experience of the Tao, uncluttered by your previously limited views. Re-listen to the first section of this 41st verse of the Tao Te Ching, noticing your response. Ask yourself whether you're a great, middling, or an inferior scholar when it comes to understanding and applying the wisdom of the Tao. For example, I can unabashedly proclaim myself a great scholar after so many years spent studying and writing it. And the more I've studied, the more diligently I've practiced. I've become highly attuned to the infinite variety of daily opportunities to employ these principles of the Tao. As you examine your own thoughts, you may discover an aspect of yourself that wants to learn how to utilize these ancient teachings. Thus, you can move from being a person who knew very little about them.